Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, October the 20th. And, man, what a day. What a day. It's been a crazy news day all around. But I do want to begin with a story that I have not addressed. I have not covered this or spoken about this story before. And that is this tragedy between this young couple, this young woman, Gabby Petito, I think it is, and the young man, Brian Laundrie, I think that's his name. As I said, I have not been following the story. But it does appear today that the police may have found some evidence of Brian's remains. And if that's the case, I certainly hope that that ends this terrible story. It's horrible. I hate to be – it's hard for me to think what it would – you know, just thinking about – her parents and his parents and what they've gone through and all of that. And I have no idea who did what. I will follow the story like everybody else. But there is one lesson, I think, out of all of this, and I hope every young woman out there who is involved in a relationship with a man who is not nice to her, especially a man who abuses her physically, I really hope that this particular example teaches those young women to stay away from those relationships. You know, anytime you're in a relationship with a man who attacks you, who hits you, who is physical against you, that man is not going to change. I'm sorry, he's not. So the quicker you break away and just walk away from that relationship and get help if necessary, you probably do need help, the quicker you do that, the better. Obviously, this young woman, Gabby, was in a very strange relationship with this young man, Brian, and, well, it's terrible what's happened. I just hope that we leave them alone now so that their families can deal with all of this. But again, if you're a young woman, if you're a woman, and you're in a relationship with a man where he is physical against you, you need to get away from that relationship as fast as you can, because that men usually don't change. That kind of behavior. Some do, I'm sure, but most of them do not. So stay away from that kind of relationship. I think that's the key to all of this. Well, it's been a pretty crazy day in the news, as I mentioned, and I want to begin talking about something that I discussed with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda, on our last podcast. You can see you can hear the podcast in our archives. The Week in Review with Bill Katz. And we were talking about something that is happening in New York, where a statue of Thomas Jefferson is coming down. I believe it's at New York City Hall, meaning the official seat of the New York City government, where the statue has been there, as I understand, for over 200 years. That statue of Thomas Jefferson has been there. But they're bringing it down. And this is a disgrace. And what is a bigger disgrace is that the mayor of New York City, the Democrats in New York City, the Democrat governor of New York City, the Democrat majority in the New York Senate and House tolerate this and allow this to happen. How can the Democrat Party just sit there and watch a statue of Thomas Jefferson be removed from a government building? Now, the excuse that they are using is that apparently, they're saying, well, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. Well, he did. He did. There's no question about that. Nobody denies that. Frankly, everybody, just about every rancher of consequence at that time had slaves, because slaves, that was the way it was. I'm not defending it. I'm not saying it's good, but that's the way it was. That's the way it was. But that doesn't mean that you don't look at the big picture here of Thomas Jefferson as the man who wrote the Declaration of Independence, the third president of the United States, and without question, one of the most consequential men in the history of democracy. I mean, you go to any country in the world, and who do they read? They read Thomas Jefferson. He is considered to be a great American, and he was a great American. And for his statue to be removed in this fashion, frankly, makes me very angry. But again, as I said before, what makes me even angrier is that the mayor of New York City allows this to happen. The city council allows this to happen. the Democrat governor of New York City allow this to happen, or of New York, I mean, Democrat governor of New York allow this to happen? I mean, I'm sorry, this is a disgrace. This is a total disgrace. But you know, I got to bring this up because during, back in whenever it was, 2018, President Trump said something when they were talking about Robert E. Lee. And he said, if they bring down Robert E. Lee, it's only a matter of time before they bring down Thomas Jefferson, or they go after Thomas Jefferson. And a lot of people made fun of Trump, saying, no, that's crazy. Trump is crazy. Well, it turns out that Trump was correct. And I wouldn't be surprised now if you see people go after the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., and other references to Jefferson in the country. And this is, as I said before, a disgrace. Thomas Jefferson is one of the greatest men in world history, the author of the Declaration of Independence, the third president of the United States. And if you do not understand how important or how valuable Thomas Jefferson was, then maybe you need to go to another country. Seriously. Maybe you need to move to another country. Maybe you need to say, you know what? I don't like the United States anymore. I'm going to move somewhere else. And frankly, go right ahead. Go right ahead and move to another country. Because if you don't understand what Thomas Jefferson did, or you do not understand who Thomas Jefferson is, maybe you shouldn't be here in the first place. Maybe you should, you know, bail out and move to another country, because Thomas Jefferson was a great man. And that statue, removing that statue, is not just an insult to Thomas Jefferson and his legacy, but to many, many Americans who understand American history. You know, I mentioned recently, talking to a friend, that I think it's only a matter of time before many people in this country begin to realize that we live in two countries. We have a blue country and a red country, but it's more than that. We have a part of the world, part of the country that says that Thomas Jefferson owned slaves, and then you have the other half of the country who says, yes, he did own slaves, but he wrote the Declaration and he was a great man. How you reconcile those two points of view, I don't know. But if we as a country do not reconcile those points of view, if we don't have a common history, or at least a common understanding or a common love of our history or appreciation of the great men and women who came before us, if we destroy our history, we're not going to be a country. We're not going to be a country, that much I can tell you, because we're just going to tear up, and maybe there's going to be that great divorce that everybody's talking about. You know, I hear some historians talking about a great divorce between blue and red. Maybe that's going to happen. I hope not, but maybe that's where we are. Maybe we're headed that way, frankly, unfortunately. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, some news came out today about the border, the U.S.-Mexico border, that border arrests are at an all-time high. The number of people being arrested at the border is at an all-time high. Now, also the number of people who are sneaking in is pretty high as well. We're also learning now that we are flying underage immigrants or illegal immigrants, I guess kids, we're flying them to different parts of the country, and we do it in the dark of night. We don't tell the communities where these planes are landing that the planes are coming. I mean, we're doing this without the consent of the neighborhood where these people are moving to. This is, again, this. If you Democrats out there want to understand, President Biden is just collapsing in the polls, collapsing to levels where you now have approval polls at 38%. Now, as I've said many times, the one poll that I follow when it comes to presidential ranking or presidential approval is Rasmussen. They've got him at 41. I like Rasmussen because It's a daily poll, and they use likely voters, which is, in my opinion, a more reliable form of polling data. But nevertheless, he's at 41. That's not good. Some polls have him at 38. But if you want to understand, if you're a Democrat out there and you want to understand why he is crashing in the polls, collapsing in the polls, and I honestly don't see any improvement, because things are going to get a lot worse with inflation. They're going to get a lot worse with waiting until people in New York and Massachusetts start getting the energy bills this winter. It's going to be pretty bad up there when it gets cold. So these polls are just going to crash even further. So if you want to understand why President Biden is collapsing, just look at the things that he's doing, like sneaking minors into cities in the country without, you know, in the middle of the night without telling anybody. I don't think that's a good idea. That is not an immigration policy of the United States. So it's a disgrace. And this is why he's falling apart completely. His ranking, his ratings are going down completely. And that's why they're going down, because of crap like what they're doing on the border. Now, over in Virginia, they have a very interesting governor's race going on. At the moment, it's too close to call. The last two polls basically have it at 46-46. So it's too close to call. Now, the Democrats, as I said before, they do have an advantage here. And that advantage is that the northern part of Virginia is flooded with government workers, people who work in the federal government who live in Virginia. And that's a lot of people who live up there. The southern part of the state, the more Republican part of the state, that part is a little smaller as far as population. So the odds are in favor of the Democrat in Virginia. The fact that it's too close to call is a warning sign of how unpopular President Biden is. That's what that's all about. This election is really a referendum on President Biden. And so far, too close to call is not good news if you're a Democrat looking ahead to 2022. No way that it should be that close, but it is. And again, it's a warning sign to the Democrats about what could happen in 2022. If they don't start getting their act together, they're going to be in for a very rough 2022 when we have the congressional elections of the midterm. Well, a couple of things we're going to remember on this day in history. Mickey Mantle, the great Mickey Mantle, was born on this day in 1931. He passed away in 1995. Now, I was a huge fan of Mickey Mantle. I grew up as a little boy, as a young boy, loving Mickey Mantle. I think a lot of people from my generation did that. So I was a huge fan of Mickey Mantle. At the end of his career, of course, or at the end of his life, Mantle was dealing with a lot of health problems. And some of it was cancer. Some of it was a byproduct of his lifestyle. He used to drink too much, as we all know. But, you know, I guess I'd rather have the image of Mickey Mantle as the great Mick playing center field for the Yankees and hitting those home runs. That's what I remember. And he was probably my first baseball idol. And I just absolutely love thinking about Mickey Mantle and thinking about those memories. Number seven, swinging those home runs at Yankee Stadium. It's just something that I always remember. So we remember Mickey Mantle today. He was born in Oklahoma, and he made it to the major leagues in 1951 when he was 20 years old. And he became, of course, the great Yankee of those great Yankee teams of the 50s and into the 60s. We say happy number 84 today to another great baseball player, Juan Marichal, the great Dominican, probably the greatest Latin American pitcher of all time. This is a man who won 240 games or something like that, and he was amazing. He was amazing back in the 60s. He played with the San Francisco Giants. That's where he played most of his career. But he was just amazing. Just amazing. He had this great pitching form. And you have to watch it. You have to watch him pitch, the way he would kick his leg up. Just amazing. And Juan Marichal, if you needed a big game in the 1960s to win, you gave the ball to Juan Marichal. He was going to keep you in the game, to say the least. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Talk to you later.